not religion.
Lifted me when nothing else could help.
It was your love.
When nothing else.
Hallelujah, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, all praises be unto you, our Father. Hallelujah, we love you, we adore you, we worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord, have your way in our hearts, in our lives, Lord God, as we come together to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, we cannot exalt your names with our hearts being far from you, Father God. So we pray right now that you would unite our hearts to yours. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're not for any show, pretense, or hypocrisy, but God, we need the everlasting Spirit of Christ in all our endeavors, Lord God. We cannot be anything without you, for the scriptures declare, in him we live, we move, and we have our being. Father, it is because of you that we can be anything. We have our being. Hallelujah. Holiness is a state of being. Righteousness is a state of being. We are human beings. We are made living souls by your Spirit of life, Father God. You have regenerated us unto new life, Father God. So we thank you for your Spirit, and we cannot do anything. We are not equipped to do anything without your Spirit, Lord God. For it is the Spirit that is life because of righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you for the everlasting Spirit of Christ on today, Lord God. Hallelujah. If we're going to know you, we got to know you by your Spirit now, Father. Hallelujah. Father, don't let us miss you in one detail. Don't let us miss you in anything that you have for us, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord God, that for every soul on this line, every person under the sound of my voice that is marked as a blood-bought possession of Christ, I pray right now your hand of mercy and protection be upon them. In the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that you will bless them, oh God, in ushering us into our purpose. Glory to God. This is a season of God calling for a purpose. Hallelujah. Calling you into your purpose. Hallelujah. Father, deliver your word through me. I am a vessel. I am empty. Fill me with you and empty me of self. As I decrease, you will increase. You already increased. So I must decrease that you will flow and they will hear you and not I. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I know sometimes it sounds like I'm all over the place when I'm praying, and then it's like he's praying and he's prophesying all at the same time. But however the Spirit flows, whatever he says, we have to be open to him. I was in a church service the other day, and I was trying to connect with God in the way I really thought I needed to, and all he would say to me is yield. And the more I yield, the more I could feel the Spirit of Christ come upon me and take over. That's what we have to do. The Holy Spirit is the doer, or the helper, shall I say. He's the one that makes things possible. He's the life giver. He's the life giver. So when we begin to yield to him and give him a yes, then he removes the flesh out of the equation. He removes self out of the equation. You don't have to pump and prime him. You don't have to try to conjure him up. He's already promised to be in the midst where two or three are gathered together in his name. He's there. But a lot of times we don't yield to him. So we see a lot of flesh on display, but the Spirit is life. So when we begin to flow in him, if he wants to pray, if he wants to prophesy, if he gives a word, if he moves this way, that way, we got to go with him because he's covering all areas. Hallelujah. Watch this. I do have a word to deliver on today, but I want to just yield to the Holy Ghost that you will hear him and not me. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. I want to pray one more time. We praise you, Lord God, for who you are. Hallelujah. Your hand is mighty upon your people, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that you would anoint our ears to hear what you will say on today. Anoint our ears to hear it exactly the way you desire for us to understand it. Let us not perceive it with our own preconceived notions, but to hear what thus saith the Spirit of the Lord and to do what you require after it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so on last week, I believe I delivered a word about giving God a yes. Didn't know how personal he would make that word for me about giving God a yes. And there are times where God requires a yes from his people or from his chosen, whoever this is for. You know what it means to you, what God has called you to. He'll have a requirement for a yes out of your spirit. Sometimes we tell God yes, not knowing we're going to have to tell him yes on the next level. What do I mean? Jesus told God yes when he came to earth. He says, through the spirit, we can hear the mind of Christ. In Psalms chapter 40, round about verse 7, he says, lo, I come in the volume of the book. That means the whole book is prophecy of Christ. That means you can find Jesus anywhere in that book if you got the Spirit. He says, I come in the volume of it, the fullness of the book. He says, I've come to do thy will. So that's his yes. And then he picks it up. The writer of the books of a book of Hebrews in the seventh verse, he picks it up and writes about the same thing. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. I've come to do thy will. Burnt offerings and sacrifices thou didst not desire, but mercy. And then he says, but thou hast prepared a body for me. I've come to do thy will. He's speaking the same thing in much more clarity. He's saying yes, that Jesus already said yes to the Father's will. He's come to do his will, but he has to have a body to do it through. Even Jesus got to come here in the flesh in order to accomplish the will of the Father on earth. So he came in the flesh, gave God a yes. He began to speak some things to me about excuses. Jesus has no earthly father, yet he ends up in the belly of a virgin woman. He didn't make no excuse. He gave God a yes. So I don't care what it is that we feel like we're inadequate, we don't have this, don't have that. If God tells you to do it, you can do it. He gave me the thing all last week about giving God a yes. Here's Jesus coming to earth, putting on a flesh body, becoming a man. God becoming a man. That has never happened before. That had never happened. He put on flesh and became one of us because he gave God a yes. But then when he gets here, he's got to subdue the will of the flesh to do the will of his Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is standing there and he's praying. And he's trying to get somebody to agree with him. He's going to the apostles, to the disciples in their sleep. He goes to the choice ones, James, John, and Peter, in their sleep. And he gets Peter because Peter's the one that talks the most. He's the one that's got the greatest faith. He walks on the water. He's got the gift of faith operating. And yet he's asleep. And he says, could you not watch with me but for 1 hour, just 1 hour? He says, can you not? And yet they're asleep. But here's Jesus having to go through it all by himself, because nobody's in agreement with him at this point, but the Spirit is, because the Spirit is going to get that yes. So here's Jesus at the garden. He doesn't want to die. He doesn't want to die, but he knows his purpose. His flesh does not want to die. Understand something. Flesh don't want to die, but it's got to. It's got to. Jesus doesn't want to go through this. So he begins to pray, Father, all things are possible. I know if there be any other way, let this cup pass me by. In other words, in some situations, there is another way. If Jesus prayed for if, then we can't be so high-minded to think that God's purpose for our life can't have another way, because you're not dying for the sins of the world. Jesus had the greatest purpose ever. Yours, not necessarily as great. Or nowhere near it, to be honest. We just to carry out the gospel. Now, Jesus prays if there be another way. And then he says all things are possible, which lets me know something. It was possible that God could have done this thing another way. It was possible. He said, with you all things are possible. But then what he did was submitted all possibilities to the will of the Father, hallelujah, and gave God another yes. The first yes was, I'll go to earth, I'll become a man. He did that with no excuse. Got in the womb and was born like a man, although he didn't have an earthly father. Now, everybody else had to, you know, your mom and daddy had to come together. Here's Jesus. He comes through the word of God. And he just, all of a sudden, he's formed in the womb because of faith and because of the word. That's how powerful the word of God is. Everything materializes off of the word. That's why we got to be very, very careful what we say. Hallelujah. We got to live circumspectly. We've got to study to show ourselves approved. We've got to pray. Every word that God gives should be prayed out and pondered upon. We can't just get before the people of God and throw around a bunch of junk. No. It's a dangerous place. And your yes will bring you out of that. Watch this. So here's Jesus telling the Father, I don't want to do this. Is there any other way? The Bible says that his sweat became as drops of blood. He began to cry, and he began to pray, and he began to sweat. Blood, sweat, and tears is going on, and nobody wants to help him pray. In his most needful moment, he's still human. He's all God, but he's wrapped in human flesh. He's then became a man. The Bible says, and the word was made flesh. So here he is, and the flesh has its own will. It don't want to die. It instinctively wants to live. It instinctively wants to hold on to this world. It doesn't want to pass over. And he's praying according to his will of his flesh. It doesn't mean he was in sin, because he wasn't. He was not in sin. He wasn't praying anything wrong. He was just being real with the Father. Sometimes you got to be real with God about where you are. That don't mean he's going to give you a yes, but he might. But here's Jesus. And he says, if there be any other way, if. But he didn't get the answer that he wanted, because he already knew what he came for. He already knew that can't nobody else bear this burden. Nobody else is worthy. So he gives God a second yes. And he shifts the gears and says, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That was his second yes. That was his second yes. The first yes was, yeah, I'll go. Some of you, God has called you into something. And you say, yeah, I'll be your child, God. I'll serve you. I love you. Then God say, prophesy. Wait, who, me? Or God say, step out on faith and build it. Or step out on faith and start this, start that. Whatever he's telling you to do. Nobody can tell you the will of God for your life. You should already have that in your spirit. It's already in you. And it's already asking you for a yes. If you don't have it asking for a yes, then you got to check your lifeline relationship with Christ, because nobody else should be able to tell you all the specific details of the will of God for your life. That's off somewhere. You have not developed a personal relationship with the Lord. We got to go back to the basics with you. But if you're not in that category, then this message right here is for you. Now, my yes is being tested. My yes. So the Lord will give you that first call. And most times we're excited about it. Oh, yeah, preach. I'll be a preacher. And then God tell you to preach a hard message. Wait. Because we want to be liked. We want to be popular. We want to bless everybody. We want to tell them goody-goody stuff. But God sometimes will give you a word of judgment. And you still got to be just as excited about giving God a yes in that time as you are to say what you thought was going to make everybody happy. Your yes will be required. Watch this. I'm going somewhere with this. So for me, I was told many a times, called out many a times, to the point I began to not even want to go to churches when I knew somebody prophetic was coming. I just didn't even want to be bothered, because every time I turn around, they called me out and saying, God's got a work for you. You're going to be a prophet, or you're going to prophesy to the nations. You're getting all this word, and I'm like, oh, God. I just want to be a regular lay member. I don't have to be nobody's preacher. I don't want to say this and that. I don't want the accountability or the responsibility. That was me. I ran from it. I spoke against it. I said, not me. No. But I found myself like Jonah, trying to give God a no when God already put a yes in me. Watch this. God already put a yes in Jonah. Hence, he was able to pray from the bottom of the sea inside of a fish's belly. He was yet able to pray and say something to get God's attention to revive him and bring him out and put him right back on track to what he already was told to do. Watch this. A yes. God is looking for a yes from his people. Now, last week I spoke on the yes. Didn't know how personal that would become for me, because God has been dealing with me about some things. Anybody that know me closely, they know that I don't speak about certain things. Anybody that knows me personally, some of you just hear me or you read the things I post on Facebook or whatever, you hear me on this broadcast or different places, but you don't know me personally. But anybody that knows me knows there are certain things I don't talk about. There's certain things I don't do. I don't watch the news very, very, very seldom. Will I watch the news? If I know anything that's going on in the world, it's because the Holy Ghost is telling me, or you all are telling me. Had a very special person once tell me the reason it's good not to watch the news if you operate in the prophetic is it keeps the prophecy pure. So that's a nugget for somebody. It keeps prophecy pure. When you don't fill up on the stuff of the world and you're getting your information straight through the pipeline of God, through the spirit realm, then that keeps it pure. Anyhow, I, as an individual, normally don't speak on things that are controversial. I don't speak on the things that are making the news or the things that everybody else is talking about, because I don't ever want to speak out of ignorance. I don't ever want to have to come back and say, oops, I should not have said that. But when you are put in a position to speak into the lives of people, when you're put in a position of leadership of any capacity where people are listening and looking for wisdom, and God has given you the ears of people, then there is a level of responsibility that you receive by default. And there are things we may not know until the Holy Spirit begins to speak on it and show you. So I'm going to start with what he began to deal with me about. Leviticus chapter 5, Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1. It says, and if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he hath seen or known of it, If he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Let me read that in the NIV. That was the King James Version, because sometimes the old English is hard for a lot of people to get what's really being said, especially when it comes to the Old Testament. It says, if anyone sins because they do not speak up, when they hear a public charge to testify regarding something they have seen or learned about, they will be held responsible. I want you to listen to me real good. I need you to listen real good, because this is important, and this is going to deal with what God is saying corporately to the body. I am just a messenger. And even as a messenger, we don't get to say what we want to say. We say what he say. It says, if anyone sins because they do not speak up, when they hear a public charge to testify regarding something they have seen or learned about, they will be held responsible. In other words, your silence can become sin in the eyes of the Lord. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes your silence can be sin in the eyes of the Lord. I've been praying this week. I've been looking at the scriptures this week, and God has been searching out some things concerning me to get me to say yes about some things. And there's been some things that I personally would not want to deal with, but when the Holy Spirit is speaking, then we have to say what he say. We have to understand his leading and directing, and he will not lead you in a way that is error. He will always lead you toward his righteousness. Now, he began to share with me a few other things. Luke chapter 8, and you'll understand why I'm saying all this when I get where I'm going with it. Verse 16, Jesus said, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. I hate to be the one to say this, but right now, the time that we are living in this country especially, I believe we're seeing the hand of God move in judgment. I believe we are seeing the hand of God move in judgment. I know mercy, mercy, grace, grace. That's what we want to hear. That's what I want to say. But we have to discern the heart of the Father to see what he's saying. We cannot be a spokesperson for God without spending time in his presence and hearing what he's saying. And God holds us accountable. If he says you're a prophet to the nations, that's what you got to do, prophesy to the nations. So when God speaks, he speaks to all of us concerning us as a whole. 2 Chronicles 7:14, God says, if my people, he didn't say a person. He didn't say the priesthood. He didn't say the laity. He said my people. That means everybody called by his name. All of us is held accountable as one person, but we're one group. So it may not apply to everybody in the group, but you're still part of the group. When I was a little kid, sometimes we would get whoopings because one person messed it up for everybody. And they say, if I hear anything out of anybody else, everybody getting a whooping. And somebody would be a fool and run up the hall making some noise and everybody get a whooping. You know, that kind of stuff happens. Well, sometimes it's similar in God. I know we got to have our personal relationship with God. But if you have one, then we understand that we're our brother's keepers. But we're in a time that I believe the Spirit of the Lord is saying is judgment in the land. Judgment. I didn't say destruction. I said judgment. The judgment of God is where God is putting us, his people, on his radar. And what he's doing is looking for his righteousness. If he don't find it, then destruction has free reign over the land. Hence, he tells them, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will heal their land and forgive their sins. So he's looking at the people, us as a whole. Something God had to bring a correction to me about, and why he's speaking about not hiding the light. We need the light. You don't light a candle to hide it. So we can't hide what God is saying. It's light to know what's going on. Listen, I don't care how bad the situation is. If you're in the dark, you won't see it. I don't care how good the situation is. If you're in the dark, you won't see it. We have made the mistake of thinking that light is going to only show forth good. Light is going to show forth whatever's there, be it good or evil. So when the lights come on, reality is now have to be embraced and dealt with. It's not, oh, it's only a word of light. Light, if it's just telling me good stuff, not when the truth reality is it's a filthy mess and God wants to clean it up or do something else about it. So we got to give what the word of the Lord is. Watch this. The thing that God wanted to clear up is this. I've heard it said, and I personally have said it myself, and I was wrong about it. And what it is that we believe that God will not allow bad things or evil calamities to come into a land where there are good people. That's what we believe. We say God does not let the righteous die with the wicked. Well, he showed me something in the scriptures that say otherwise. Why am I talking like this? You'll find out. Am I talking about anybody dying? No, I'm not talking about death. But I'm saying with the things the Lord has been showing me, if we're not careful, then the judgment of God, listen, it can hit anybody, including me. The judgment of God is not a game. It's not something we play with. It's not something that we take lightly. When God starts to speak of judgment, then we have to take and give ear to hear what he's really trying to convey to us. Ezekiel chapter 21, verse number 2, he says, "Son of man, set thy face toward Jerusalem and drop thy word toward the holy places and prophesy against the land." He's talking about the land of Israel. Now, somebody say, that's Old Testament. The prophets don't operate like that in the New. Listen, when you find the New Testament prophets, John, who was, you know, killed for his witness, the things that he wrote, if you read the book of Revelation, that's some tough stuff to chew on. When you read Peter's prophecy and he talks about the end of the world and how we ought to fear God and be a certain type of person because we know these things are coming. When you read the different prophets that are in the New Testament, they weren't much different. It was the same Holy Spirit talking through them that was talking through the prophets of old. And a lot of the prophets of old, the things they said had not even come to pass. Daniel's book was written, the Bible says, for the end times, things that got to come to pass in our days. And God's got to have a voice to speak these things. And God has to have those who understand these things and that are hearing from him in the pipeline of grace and truth. So God has always been a merciful God. Of course, in this covenant, this dispensation, we get more grace. We get more grace than under the law. But God has never been void of truth. And his truth is, sin is a reproach to all people. That includes Christians. And there is a place and a point where the cup of sin and iniquity begins to get so full that God begins to get angry with nations, with people. Now, here he is telling Ezekiel, "Son of man, set thy face toward Jerusalem." Jerusalem was the capital city of Israel, his chosen people. He chose Israel above every nation of the world. Yet here he is saying, "Set your face toward them and drop your word toward the places and prophesy against the land of Israel." This is God telling his prophet, "Speak against this people, my people, Israel, and say to the land of Israel, thus saith the Lord, behold, I am against thee." God said he was against them, "and will draw forth my sword out of its sheath." This is God speaking to his people. His sword is coming against his people here. That's what he's saying. "And I will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked." This is God telling the prophet to tell the people God's going to send a sword and cut off the good and the bad. This is how angry God had become over his people. Why? Why would God be angry? Why is he telling us to turn from our wicked ways? And yet here he's judging everybody, the good and the bad. He says, "Seeing that I will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked, therefore shall my sword go forth out of its sheath against all flesh from the south to the north, that all flesh may know that I, the Lord, have drawn forth my sword out of its sheath. It shall not return anymore. Sigh, therefore, son of man, with the breaking of thy loins, and with bitterness sigh before their eyes, crying, how? Son of man, for it shall be upon my people, it shall be upon all the princes of Israel. Terrors by reason of the sword shall be upon my people. Smite therefore upon thy thigh." In other words, he's saying, you got to weep bitterly, cry Let these people know this is serious. God is not playing. All too long have we seen the doom and gloom prophets and the word don't come to pass. All too often have we seen the prophets that want to tell you all the goody, 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 and everybody wants to get happy, happy, happy. And yet, are we hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying? Watch this. And he says, Sigh, this thing is serious. We got to cry out because we're in a time where God is showing forth what's coming, and people aren't hearing. People aren't hearing. Do we not understand that we're on the brink of world war right now? And I'm not trying to bring these things to pass by saying it. I pray earnestly against a lot of this stuff. I was praying last week against a week before last, whenever that hurricane hit. So much been going on. I don't remember what day it was. But as I began to pray against Hurricane Harvey, the Spirit of the Lord said, this is of me. I called a prophet that lives down in Houston, and I said, let's pray together. And they kept putting it off. And they told me the same word, that God said this storm is of him, and we have to know how to pray. So I changed my prayer style. I said, okay, we can't pray this thing away, but we can reason with God. Because some things that are hitting the land are of God. I don't care how they prophesy and say what they say. You got to hear God. They can lie and tell you, or they can get mad at the prophets and say, you know, they're saying this, and they're trying to be spooky. They can say all that craziness and all they want to say. But if you got an ear to hear God, then it don't matter what anybody else is saying. He said it's of me. I talked to somebody else. They said God told me the same thing. Got them out for 2-3 witnesses. Every word be established. I tried to pray it away, and I couldn't pray it away. All I could do is pray for the people. Because the Spirit of the Lord is saying this is of me. One prophet said God told him we're getting ready to see a lot more of this because Jesus is soon to return, and he's getting his people in the right mindset to understand the time we're really living in. Watch this. So here God tells Ezekiel, I'm getting ready to bring judgment, and I'm cutting off the wicked and the righteous. All this time I've been in church, I've been saying, no, God doesn't do it that way. Well, here in the word of God, he shows that he does. It's all about what he says. He said that they may know that I am the Lord in doing this. Now, does that mean we're all getting ready to die? I'm not saying that. I'm showing you the character of God and his judgment, his righteous judgment. America has to repent. Now, my word has not mainly been to the church, his people, my people, which are called by my name. That doesn't mean that if you're a sinner, you get off the hook. If you are unrighteous, you get off the hook. If the people of God have to repent, the sinner man definitely has to repent, because judgment is in the land. If you don't know, now you do know. It's in the land. It's on the land, and we've got to walk circumspectly. Now, there were some things that transpired in the last couple of weeks, and I wasn't going to speak on it. I had nothing to say because I'm like this. My opinion means nothing. I only want to know what God is saying. If you go to anybody that's a prophet or claims to be a prophet, a messenger, or they speak for God, they hear from God, whatever, their opinion is nothing. It's trash. My opinion is nothing. It's trash. So I don't issue out an opinion. I want to seek God and hear what is the Lord saying to the nations. What is he saying to America? Repent. Repent. Get right and get ready. I'm coming. Hallelujah. Watch this. So for me, the yes is I got to drop this word, whether it feels good, whether it makes you happy, make you mad, make you hate me, make you mad at God. I can't deal with what it do for the people. All I got to do is make God happy. Hallelujah. Watch this. Certain things took place, and I, for one, wasn't going to speak on none of these things. But the Lord began to deal with me and said, but you can see what's really happening. And if you hold your peace, I'm holding you accountable. I said, well, God, I'm not looking to, you know, put my mouth on anything, you know. Just I want to, you know, be all nice. But sometimes you just got to say what he give you. Now, with this whole thing that happened in the Houston area, and the world was mad, and they were fussing, why this man ain't open his church, and da-da-da-da-da, and all that, I was actually upset. I was upset with the world, like, how y'all want to go to church now? How y'all mad at the man? But, you know, blah, blah, blah. But God began to show me his heart on the matter. He began to show me his heart on the matter, and things were definitely exposed. Some things were exposed, and we're going to see more exposure. God told me early this year, and I shared with very few people already, that God said, I am snatching the covers off That means that people are going to be exposed. Because, listen, we're in a time now where people need the true gospel. They need the true church to step up. They need the people of God to be the people of God. They need to see love in action. You cannot have the largest church in America and close your doors claiming flood damage, and then people are videotaping and there's no flood damage there and people are suffering. And God began to deal with me on that, how he sees it and how he holds us accountable. How he holds us accountable to hold each other accountable in the church. We can't cover up everything. The world should not have to come and tell the church to be the church. Now, here's the thing. I said it like this. This is what I said. The world, everybody was having their, you know, their little 2 cents about Joel Osteen, Pastor Joel Osteen, and his church not being open and not helping the people and all this and that. And some of the people was even saying, yo, I'm pagan and I don't even do that. Well, they don't get to tell the church. They don't get to govern the church. They don't get to tell us how to be the church. The church governs itself. But when something is wrong in the body speaks up. Now, if you hurt your body, your physical body, it's going to hurt the rest of your body. There's pain that's going to be in that spot where it's hurting. And it's going to let the rest of the body know something's wrong here. Likewise, in the church, when there's something wrong, we can't sweep everything under the rug and we can't get mad at the world. No, they don't get to govern us and tell us how to do it. But at the same time, that we should know better. They should not even have anything to say about us. Now, I said I'm speaking the heart of the Father on this matter. Let me tell you why. The Word of God says, if a brother has, or if a man has this world's goods and see a brother in need, and he shut up his bowels of compassion, how dwell the love of God in them? How? So if we are to be the body of Christ, if we are to be the body of Christ, I'm speaking on this because some of you are curious about it. Some of you have spoke about it. I have to because the Lord is dealing with me about it. I'm not one that looks to throw stones. I've never put nobody under the bus. I've never got on none of these preachers and put their names out there and said nothing. Nobody could ever say they heard me say or put my mouth on anybody. So this is not something I do just to try to get publicity or to look like I'm anything. But when God speaks on the matter, then we got to hear what he's saying. And we got to hold each other accountable because, listen, the judgment of God is in the land. And he's not playing. We're not going to be able to hypocrite our way through in the years to come. We're not going to be able to hypocrite our way through. We're going to have to be real and live this thing. Go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 16. This is what the Lord was dealing with me about. It says, And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. And I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. Here we go again. And for there is a time for every purpose there's a time for every purpose and for every work. So here he's talking about God judging the righteous and the wicked. Here he's talking about there being wickedness and iniquity in the place of righteousness. What is he talking about? He's talking about his church, his people. The people of God yet have to understand that God is judging us as well as he's judging them. He's not just looking at the pagans. In fact, he's holding us to a higher standard of accountability because we say we know him. We say he's our God. We say love. We want to look like love on paper. And then when we're put to the test, when a catastrophe hits the land and we have the ability to do and won't do, God is saying, hey, I'm not just going to judge the preacher that didn't open his doors and they lied about it and tried to cover it up and all that. No, I'm looking at all of my people because he's a representation of us. That means we now got to pray. And I begin to get convicted when God was showing me these things. I say, you know, this man might have did that and people could have died. But how many times have I, as an individual, could have saved a life through prayer and turned the road over and went back to sleep? So I had to make this thing personal and look at self. How many lives have been lost because of my lack of prayer or my lack of fasting, my lack of crying out, my lack of speaking out, whatever it is that God is calling for? This is why he's telling us about a yes. because everybody's now got to be held accountable to a higher standard. Not because God is mean, but hey, if we call by his name, we got to be holy. We got to love right. Somebody said, well, you're just talking at us. Okay, well, if you can hear the Holy Ghost in this, then you already know better. I don't have time to try to prove that that the Spirit is flowing. I'm going to keep moving. Hallelujah. When certain things begin to take place, we're going to know what God has said and what he hasn't said. Watch this. Yes, there's a changing of the guard. There's a changing of the guard. God is getting ready to bring forth a people that you have not heard of. You have not seen. God is getting ready to bring forth a people that are going to do his work. He's bringing forth a shepherding spirit. Hallelujah. A shepherding class in the church, in the body of Christ. The idol shepherds are being removed. Understand this. Mark your calendars this day. There is a changing of the guard. Hallelujah. A changing of the guard. God is bringing about a people that will shepherd. There will be some things that will take place. There will be some things that will rock people's minds. They will begin to fear and flock to the church, the true church. They're looking for the true church. Hallelujah. And there will be a people looking for shepherding. There will be certain things that will, I don't want to say disasters, but there's going to be some more things that take place in our land. Not because I said it. God's going to get this thing done, whether I say it or not, because God is looking for his church to rise up. There will be a shutting down of a certain people, but there will be a rising up of a people. There will be a rising up of a people who will honor their God with their service, with their life, with their hearts. There will be a people shortly. As we are in the end times, there will be those who will have prophetic utterance, and they will be able to give you strategic direction to have a level of humility to hear, because there are things that are going to be snares and traps for those who are called by the name of God. There will be snares and traps set for you, and the way to escape is you have to hear. There will be snares and traps, but the way to escape will be to hear the voice of the Spirit. He will direct you. He will guide you. Watch this. As we enter into the times that we are in, there are things that are happening that are making prophecy being fulfilled that are not making the news. I need you to understand this. A lot of things are being swept under the rug, not talked about. A lot of things are being hidden that are happening, that are fulfilling prophecy. Most people, and I'm not saying this to be arrogant, but a lot of people don't even understand biblical prophecy, so don't even understand where we really are. And certain things are happening, and if we have to pray, but as I said, there are some things you cannot pray away because they are the will of God. Some things are the will of God. We can't pray away certain things. We can pray and ask God for more time. We can pray and ask God for mercy. We can pray and ask God to heal the land. But there's some things that have to happen because God said it. Not because the prophet said it, but because God said it. Understand the difference. And we're in a time where, listen, they're already pushing for a cashless society. They're pushing for, why does that matter, a cashless society, putting microchips in people while we're busy politicking and all this stuff we're doing in the church that God is not commanding us to do. He said, listen, I need my people to rise up and speak. Tell the truth. If you know what's going on and you don't tell it, it's on you. This stuff is happening under our noses. Okay? They are pushing for a cashless society, meaning no more cash money, all electronic money. What does that mean? Now they're putting microchips in people. All that's gearing towards the mark of the beast. All the popularity of tattooing and piercing. And some of these preachers, these are popularizing this stuff, and people are flocking to it. Listen, we don't need tattoos and piercings. If you did that stuff when you was out in the world, God can forgive you and make you a new creature. But we're not going after that lifestyle. That is not the holiness of God. The body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. This message might not rub some people the right way. They might not like me. They might say I'm a bigot or whatever. But, hey, the word of God is the word of God. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. How are we glorifying God if we're putting all this stuff in and on our body? It's only preparing people for the mark of the beast. And preachers ain't preaching about this stuff. You go in the average churches, they're not preaching about this stuff. But it's happening anyhow. It's in your Bible anyhow. Jesus taught about it. So if Jesus spoke on it and they're not speaking on it, they're not giving you the full counsel of the word of God. I don't care how big the church is. I don't care how many followers they got, how many fellowships they're connected to. I don't care none about that. Where is the spirit of God? That's what we're looking for. Where is the spirit of truth? Because he's not leading us in half truth. The Bible says he leads you in all truth. Take your half. That's good. You got halfway there. Now find the rest. We got to get the rest of the story. We can't walk around with half truth. That means people got to put in time and study. We got to hear what the Spirit is saying. When you dig into the scriptures, when you lay on your face, when you hear it from the Holy Spirit, then what the prophets say don't sound so strange to you. It's only a different language when they're talking spirit in your flesh, or when they're flesh in your spirit. That's the only way there's a difference in understanding. But when we all come to the same place, then God is speaking the same thing, and it's up to us to adhere to it. Hallelujah. Watch this. The times we're living in are serious, very serious times. And I don't know if people really understand this, and some people are going to catch it later. But America is in a very dangerous place. And I'm not a doom gloom prophet, but at the same time, if God is speaking these things and I forbear to give you what he's saying and let you go head on into danger, then I'm held accountable. And I'm not going to have anybody's blood on my hands. God has given me a voice. He's given me a platform to speak. And if whatever changes have to take place, whatever. But God's not going to, I'm not going to allow him to cause me to fall because I would not speak when I know that he was leading me. I'm not going to do it. So what we have to do in this time is really begin to seek the Lord, really begin to cry out, because there's certain lands that are going to be, there's going to be some massive changes in our land. Certain parts of this country, I want to say certain things, but I don't feel the release right now, but there's certain parts of this country, there's going to be some things that happen that are going to get people's attention. But in that, the rebuilding of that, there will be new shepherds, new places for the sheep to really find refuge. Because this is God doing this. This is God stirring up, shaking up, and bringing about a shepherding spirit into the church that the people will be able to dwell safely and be fed with wisdom and knowledge. As he says in his word in Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you shepherds or pastors after my own heart, and they will feed you with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We're getting ready to see certain things take place. And we need to be ready to move in and do what God is calling us to do. If he's put a mandate on your life, some of you've been feeling the call to certain things for a while. And you're going to know when certain things take place that it's your time to do what he's called you to do, because you're not going to have any choice. The people are going to come. They're going to look for a word. They're going to look for hope. They're going to look for help. And you've got to be ready. You got to already be ready. And the main thing we got to be ready for, and I'm going to be done with this message after this. The main thing we got to be ready for is the Lord, the Lord's return. We're in the end times. Certain things are happening that never happened before that are fulfilling Bible prophecy. There's so many things that, listen, I don't get this stuff just because it's on the news or somebody shared it with me. God's giving me dreams, and he's speaking to me and showing me in his word. All this stuff, and then all of a sudden when I begin to research it, come to find out, yo, this is really happening. This is going on. This is what's up. This is right here. This is right there. So it's not just somebody just coming at you with a bunch of research. I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking certain things, and he's letting us know that at this time, America really needs to repent. The church really needs to repent. All of us really need to repent and ask God to prepare us for the times that are ahead. He's coming back soon. He's coming back soon, sooner than most of us think. And we don't want to be caught playing church. We don't want to get caught relaxed. Joel 6:1. I'm leaving on this. Amos 6. Somebody said there ain't no Joel 6. It's Amos 6. This is what the heart of the Father is right here. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the mountains, to whom the house of Israel came. If you skip on down to verse 3, it says, ye that put far away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near. He's saying by putting it far away, saying it ain't going to happen, saying the prophets of doom and gloom, or saying they're mad prophets and they're lying and they're trying to get you scared and all that. you putting it far away. He said, you call to see the violence to come near. If you knew the things that I've been seeing, and listen, I see stuff all the time and don't speak it. But when the Lord begins to say it's time to speak, then it's time to speak, because now it's getting closer. And if there's no warning, if the trumpet doesn't blow or it has an indistinguished sound, then people don't know what to do. So I'm making this real clear. Judgment is in the land, and there's things that are coming to America. And we better be ready. We better pray. Now, I'm not saying God's trying to destroy everybody. I'm not saying that. But there's some things that's going to take place that you're going to have to be in position and ready to move forward in what he called for, calling for, which is real ministry. It's not going to be all this show stuff. It's real ministry. There's real needs that are going to present itself to you. And we got to be ready to live like Jesus in this land. He says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. That means relaxed, comfortable, just living the lavish life, and yet putting far off the day of evil and causing the seat of violence to come near. He says, that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall. God is saying, wake up and pray. Wake up and watch. Wake up and be ready. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, today I pray that a strong wind of weeping will clothe the people of God, and that we will be found in your sight as worthy, because you find us weeping over the things that you're showing us, the things that the prophets are seeing, the things that you're saying are going to happen, the things that you are orchestrating, God. It is not the enemy. It's not always the enemy bringing evil into a land or calamity into a land, but some things are of you, and some things we can't pray away, but we can pray through, Lord God. Some things we can reason with you about and ask for you to spare. I thank you, Father God, that the youth are being spared, that you're covering the next generation in the blood, and you're causing them to see just how real you are, and they're coming forth, Lord God. Hallelujah. I thank you that the blood of Jesus is our covering, and Lord, that you're not a God of evil or hatred, but God, you are a God of justice, and you hate injustice. You hate hypocrisy. You hate racism. You hate falsehood. You hate false doctrines and false teachings. And you will allow certain things to come upon a land. We're not more favored than Israel. If you sent your prophets to speak words of doom and swore to Israel, and they did come to pass, America is not more favored than Israel. And we must repent. We must, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for not dropping your word when you told us to. Forgive us, Lord God, for not crying out. Forgive us, Lord God, for being caught up in money, caught up in flesh, caught up in self, caught up in everything but the kingdom. Forgive us. Father, give us a heart. We cannot even come to you right without the right heart. You have to give us a heart of repentance. You have to give us a heart like one man that sees the vision of Christ, that sees those that are in need, that sees the things that are coming upon the land, that sees the day of violence coming close, that we're not so relaxed and caught up in the world and comforts of this world and convenience of this world rather than the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Lord, forgive us, and please give us ears to hear. And those who are deaf and will yet go the opposite direction when you speak, Lord God, then let so be whatever you will. But Father God, I praise you. I thank you. I know that you will deal with us. You will rest on your servants. You will speak to the hearts of those who have ready hearts to hear. I bind up every spirit of discord and every spirit that comes to discredit your servants. You are the God that makes the difference on this day, this hour, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. You got me spinning and turning and about to flip out my chair, because you spoke on some things today that were very, 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 very real life for me, because I was in Hurricane Harvey on Ground Zero, and man, what a disaster. But I wanted to confirm the first thing you spoke on, prophet or minister, Sir Ryan Davis, is that, you know, that was a move of God. I was actually waist high in water, helping people out of their cars about a mile and a half from where we were staying. And I cried out to God. I said, God, I'm here. I came here to do I Am Fivefold No Limits Conference. And he said, And I said, save me. And he said, you're already saved. He says, but this is something that is a cleansing for this city. This is something that has to take place by my hand. And I had to throw my hands in the air at that moment and just worship him for his move on that city. And I tell you, on those days of things happening, I put this out there, nobody under the bus. The whole city was under the bus. There was nothing open. There was nobody opening their doors. It took 4 or 5 days for even George R. Brown, the convention center, to open up. And their first day, they only took in 200 people because of background checks. If you know how Katrina was, once they put them in the Superdome without background checks, there was a lot of everything in the streets was going on there. So the whole city shut down. It wasn't one church. It was every church. But I'll say this. In those first 2 days of Hurricane Harvey, if you wanted to open your doors, you could. If you wanted to get to your place of church and everything, that you couldn't get there. The city was completely shut down. But even when it opened up, people still did not move with the resources they had available. There was a lot of things going on through a lot of the connections and the covenants that we have there, that we continue to produce water and clothes. And I could name after name of people that just called me to come get clothes out their closets that weren't affected. Everyone was affected, but I mean affected into their home, that took away their belongings. And so there's no one out of excuse in this situation. I will say that it's more work that needs to be done, and us as a network, us as a body of Christ, us as a repenting faction today. I really picked that up because that's the second confirmation I wanted to share with you, is that especially our nation, we need to be on our face, not praying for nothing in particular but repentance. This goes from the highest to the lowest, from the one to the left, the biggest, the smallest, to all of us. We all need to institute a spirit and a system and a principle of repentance. I swear you've encouraged me today with confirmation that we are going to go into the level of crossing over, as you know we do every year, but crossing over in repentance. We need to repent, and we need to repent now as a nation. And we need to take care of me first. I need to get myself clean and get myself in order, as well as each and every one of us. So I petition everyone to pray for repentance for yourself. So now you are honorable to pray for others in repentance. That was one situation that happened. The man of God is on it. I can't over exaggerate how on it he is today, because this is just the first roll of many. And I sat there as a good and faithful servant. This is my testimony to you, a good and faithful servant with my hands in the air, saying, use me even in the midst of this situation with minimal means and hardly any transportation, because it was and is so bad in the Houston area. What you see on TV is 10 times watered down. So we really need to pay attention to those that are ground zero. I want to put it out there. P2P Ministries is connected, ground zero in Acres Homes, with Ricky Bradford Ministries, I Am Justified Ministries, Thoroughbreds with Pyrex Ministries, James Hudson and Showtime, many other churches that we're connecting with in this week to come, to get involved and stay involved with helping the people that have nothing. FEMA's not doing nothing until all the I's are dotted, until all the T's are crossed, until there is a final resolution. But as a body of Christ, we can still do more. It starts with me. I'm asking you to let it start with you, and to understand this is the beginning of God making some clearance. I mean that very clearly, some clearance that we can really see God more clear in the things that we are professing and the things that we're putting our hands to, that we really know who we should be covenant with. But pray for Houston, the people in Houston, especially in the ghetto rural areas. They need your prayers. They need your supplication, and they need your love. Minister Sir Ryan, his call went off. I want to give anybody else an opportunity to speak on this broadcast, Exalting Jesus. Go ahead and dial one. I'll bring you in and give you an opportunity. But I just thank God for the word that went forward today. I don't really like getting into the particulars about any one person. I put them all under the bus. They were all negligent. They all could have did better. They all had resources to do better. But also, the whole city was in danger, and there was a lot of places you couldn't get to anyway. So let's just continue to press forward in that area. God bless you guys. We have exalted Jesus today, and he is on the throne. I want to, let's see. She never dials one because she know I will end a broadcast with her, especially with Sir Ryan being off the line. But Evangelist Virginia Valentine, God bless you. We missed you on Friday. I was able to preach a good word about prayer in that situation for Houston and the other places to come. But if you would pray us out today, that would be a great honor.
Yes, man of God. I'd be honored to. Good evening, good evening, good evening. How are you?
Oh, I'm blessed.
And man of God, I'm glad you're back and you're safe. And
I tell you, I wrote a song in the middle of the water.
I got it, and I've been singing it. I can't sing, but I'm telling you, it's been blessing me. I have texted to some of my family members. One of my nieces put it on Facebook, and she got 10 likes, I believe, on there. And
okay, amen.
A lot of my, oh, Jesus, it's so awesome.
Please leave your message for 2705.
Yes, yes, God is good. That was a blessing, myself and Two Crunk.
Yes.
It was just a move where the Holy Spirit said, you guys need to write something. I will say this, that
yes,
there are four or five other artists right now writing verses for that song. It's going to be a hurricane release
awesome.
Song. And
that
and
would
we're
be
looking
awesome.
For Yes, we're still looking for others to get involved in that too. And so just continue to pray and lift that up. We're expecting mighty things to come through that.
Yes. And I have five nieces out there and an auntie. So I have some that's in a hotel. And some of them are just, you know, in their home. And she said she hadn't seen sunshine for 4 days. And when the sun did shine, she was so glad. She called me and she said, where can I go?
Oh.
And I prayed for her. And I said, it's somewhere you can go. Because I know she couldn't get here. But man of God. That song.
I wish you would have called me because I was out there in a big truck.
Yes. She had five kids, and oh, my heart, I prayed. I cried. I said, God, touch every part of Houston from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And when I listen to this song, man of God, through the flood, the rain, the pain, that was so awesome.
I could go through anything.
I've been listening to it. I'm going to be honest with you. I listened to it at night and I fall asleep on it. The hurricane song. Oh, Lord Jesus. You know what?
Oh,
I
yes.
thought about here in August. When we went through this flood, nephew was in New Orleans when they had a flood down there about a month ago. When he came outside, his car was on the water. The second time, last August, and this August, he said, what is it with me about August? And I heard y'all talk about repent. I said, brother, you need to repent.
Repent.
Repent. Repent and turn away. What do repent mean? It means to turn away the things of the world. Turn away from the things of the world and turn to God. Go ahead on and make a 360-degree turn. Turn away. Repent. Tell God you God is sorry for whatever. Repent.
Right yeah. now.
I mean right now. I'm not talking about tomorrow and next week. We need to repent right now. We need to
right
have a repentant
now.
Heart. A repentant heart, man of God. A repentant heart. It's time for us to repent. We want to put everything on God, but this was not of God, but God allowed this to happen, amen?
Yes, yes.
This This was work of the devil in high places. This was not of God. God told us he came to give us life, not to take a life and bring us through a storm and then just let us wash away. But he allowed it. God allowed things to happen. Let's not put everything on God.
Come on now.
God said, I came to give
you life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. God said, I came to give you life. And life
more abundantly.
And he said the enemy came to steal, kill, and to destroy. This is the work of the devil. I sit here and I pray for Houston. I pray for Port Arthur. I pray for every part of Jackson. And man of God, I knew you was out there. I pray for all of you all, your family, my family, the church family. And we talking about going into the church. If those that didn't open their church, they need to repent too, whatever. Because you know what? If you don't go to church, now you want to run in for safety. I could understand that. But God is God. And God doesn't do anything tragedy. God sent Jesus into this world to die for us. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God came to give me life. He came to give you life. He came for the sins of this whole world. And when I looked at this man of God and saw all the people coming together, it brought me back to the trade center when the plane went through the trade center. God got a way of bringing us together. I seen them black holding white, white holding black. They was all together. If it took this to bring us together, Lord, let us stay together. Let us come together as one. Unity. Let's not take a hurricane to bring us together. Let's not take a flood to bring us together. But love. Let love bring us together.
Hallelujah.
God loves us. Love, man of God.
Oh, yes.
Love. Let love bring us together. That word love. I could see the people. They was hugging. They was praying. Different races together. They holding hands. They praying. I said, Lord, let it stay like this. Don't let another hurricane or storm or flood come to bring us together. The Bible says, together we stand and divided we fall. Let us come together, saints of God. Let us repent. Truly repent. Tell God we God is sorry. Whatever we have said, done, or thought, tell him you're sorry. Tell him you're sorry. Oh, Father, we thank you.
Oh, yes, Jesus.
Oh, Father, we
Hello?
Thank you.
Yeah, we still
oh,
on.
Father. Yes. Father, we thank you and we praise you today.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we give you all the glory and all the honor, Father. We thank you for what you've already done. We thank you for what you're going to continue to do. We thank you for what you are doing now.
Yes,
we
Jesus.
We thank you, Lord God.
Thank you.
That Texas will never be the same. Texas will never be the same. I speak it and I decree it and I point my hand towards Texas. To the north, the south, the east, and the west.
Cleanse the land.
Touch it, Lord. That's right. The land does need healing, man of God. The Bible
cleanse
says,
the land
people.
As we repent.
Yes, we must repent. All I could hear when my friend and I was on the phone, pray for repentance. Repent. Somebody right now needs to lift their hand and say, I repent.
I repent.
Say, I repent. I repent. I got both of my hands lifted up, man of God. I repent. I repent of anything I said, done, or even thought in my mind. I repent, Lord God.
Oh, my God.
Father, I repent.
I repent.
Oh, Father, I repent.
Thank you for the word today. I repent.
Yes, Lord. Just say repent.
My repentance starts with me.
Yes, and it starts with me. I repent.
I repent, Jesus.
Father, I repent.
Forgive me, I confess my sins.
Yes, confess.
You say you're faithful and just to forgive all my unrighteousness. Please forgive me. Create in me a clean heart. Renew your right spirit in me, Jesus, right now.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah
for repentance.
Yes. He said, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Yes. Listen at this word, man of God. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is like a lawyer, and he stands before his Father, and he pleads our case to God. Whatever, he said, if you sin, he didn't say we won't sin, but if we sin, because it's a possibility we will sin, but confess it. Confess your sin before the Father, and he'll forgive us all of our
sins.
Yes,
Jesus. Yes, Jesus.
And he'll clean us from all unrighteousness.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Somebody
needs
to lift their hands. Hallelujah, Jesus.
My hands are lifted.
God's been good to us. God's been good to us. Look how they have brought the man of God back. Look at those still, Lord Jesus, I pray. Oh, I pray. Yes, I pray.
And, you know, I want to put this out there. I put myself in harm's danger and all that stuff, but I was never without anything. We had life.
Yes.
God provided a room. God provided shelter. God provided out of nowhere. We didn't have the means. And we passed away over 50 cases of water, and I didn't have the money for it, but God showed up and provided.
Yes, he did.
And he protected. So even though we had to travel and walk through some water, we still ended up in dry land. We still ended up with a cover over our head. All the family that was immediate to us was right there with us. And even though it was inconvenient for Pastor E, oh, Jesus.
Yes.
Even though it was a little uncomfortable for me because I like being by myself, but God moved.
Yes.
He moved mightily.
Yes,
and he did
but
his.
You know what,
he did, and I would say he's going to do more as we repent.
But you know what, man of God? God had you in the right place at the right time. You went to take your grandson home, and look what happened. God had you there for a reason. A purpose and a plan.
Now, no, woman of God, I went there and was doing the conference, I Am Fivefold, No Limits.
Yeah,
on Thursday night, I was on the pulpit preaching, and that water started to hit.
Yes, I see that. Yes. What a word.
But let me tell you, I was there for that season. I was supposed to be, God wanted me there, and he knew I could be effective and to be effective with other people. God did a mighty thing. I'm just so blessed.
He really did,
by
man
that
of God.
Situation.
And I said, how did y'all got together and got that song, made that song? And I said, I'm going to share with everybody here in Louisiana, and I've been doing that. I'm going to text all my family.
Well, we're going to close with that song today. Minister Sarine, if you're back on the line, I just want to thank you, brother. You hit so many nuggets
really
of prophetic
did.
Word. Everything you said was right on time. Nothing was left or right. It was right on time like a bullseye. Nothing was out of confirmation. Nothing was out of revelation. Everything was in the presence of God and in agreement.
Praise
oh, glory be to God. But I tell y'all something now. When you was down there and the water was hitting your feet, you saw a different Houston than most people see on TV. So what you see on TV, remember, it's about 10 times watered down, and they are not moving fast to get to those poverty-stricken areas. But we got a hub in Acres Homes. We got a hub right there, and there's ministries all across the city. There's ministries all across the nation that are sending and are supplying and providing help to Acres Homes that is now supplying to other cities also. We're looking for a van right now. We're looking for a truck right now. We're looking for, P2P management is looking for 100 workers from anywhere that wants to go to Houston and work from 3 to 6 months. We're putting those plans together and those logistics. God is saying, are you ready to go to work? Some people have been talking about they can't get a job. Well, are you ready to travel? You can get a job right now. Give me a call.
Yes, Lord.
Minister Sarine, any closing remarks from you, man of God?
Yes, Lord.
Yeah. Hallelujah. I do want to say this. There were many who stepped up, and praise God for them who did step up. This is not a bashing message. This is the heart of the Father as to why certain things were revealed, exposed, or talked about. As I said early on in the message, I've never been one to speak on things. Anybody close to me, anybody that follows me, never known me to speak on things unless I've heard from the Father on it and what he feels about it. And what God is doing is he's holding us accountable for us.
Yes.
And thank God for those who have stepped up and those who are continuing to step up and those who are doing it in the sight of the Father and not in the sight of man. To God be the praise for them. And
come on now.
May he continue to bring forth. As I said, there's a people coming forth out of this. And that's the blessing of it. But we still need to be aware that we are in end times and certain things are going to happen in the earth because God said it first. And there are certain things we have to be ready and prepared for. And as I said, the number one thing we must be ready for and watching for is the return of King Jesus. Let us be found
glory.
In his faithfulness in
I
his
repent.
Sight.
Yes.
In
repent.
Jesus' name.
Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
Melissa Salon, before you.
No, go ahead, woman of God.
Melissa Salon, I want to thank God for you, man of God. And what an awesome word. You hit some good points there today. And I praise God for you. And you continue to do what God called you to do. Don't you swerve to the
Amen.
Left nor to the right. But you stay focused.
Amen.
You stay focused.
Stay
Amen.
Focused.
God bless
stay
you.
On it.
Amen. And I need to say one last thing.
And don't stop speaking.
I want people to pray. Concerning this. I want people to pray concerning this. I have seen certain things for the last year almost, probably 11 and a half months. I've seen trumpets, angels with trumpets, when I get down to prayer. I'm not the only one seeing this. I have people calling me, asking me about these things. And there's a lot of things the Lord has shown. I don't speak everything I see because I don't believe in saying what you see. I believe in saying what the Lord says. But I've seen that, and I understand what it means. When he's showing us the trumpet, he's saying it's time to blow the trumpet, make his people aware of the times, make his people aware, not just because this one event happened. This one event, this is something that just took place. It was of God, but there are other events that must take place or will take place. But then there are some things we can pray about. There are some things if we really, really pray. Prayer is action. Don't let anybody say prayer isn't action.
Come on now.
Because it is action. But as we pray, then as in the days when Jonah prophesied, he told the people God's going to overthrow the land in 40 days. He didn't tell them to pray, but they chose to pray. And in their praying, God gave them more time. But what I've been seeing, I pray that we would have a mind to pray about these things. I've seen violence in America, like something you wouldn't believe. And I hope these things do not happen on our watch. But we must pray, is all I can say.
And be ready. And be ready. God bless you, man of God. Like I said, I'm going to end with this song today. You can go through anything as long as it's in Jesus' name. God bless you guys. I know some of y'all don't like rap, but I got people that don't like rap listening to this song. This was written, designed in the middle of the flood, in the middle of the rain, in the middle of the pain.
Seen a lot.
Yeah.
We've been through a lot, Pastor. Jesus.
The flood, the rain, the pain, I can go through anything, in Jesus' name. The flood, the rain, the pain, I can go through anything, in Jesus' name.
Yeah, you gotta believe, you gotta believe, yeah. Say, seen the lightning flash, heard the thunder roll, felt the waves flash. God was in control. I lost everything, everything except my faith. Saw some scary things, how they figure I'm gonna wait. Say, where my keys at? Baby didn't answer. New steady line. Lord, I need a truthful answer. She cause she on Facebook, said they about to blow the levee. Boogie got his boat took, while he out there helping Freddy. It's a cold world, and everybody beefing. The Christian hate the Muslim. Pastor shot the deacon, but even through the storm, man, I'm telling you, it's your season. In Greensport, they shot in the air because they thought y'all was leaving. But we lying, say they robbing. So folk cut out the hill. Man, that's why we gotta learn to go and help our own self. And I can't put faith in man because he got a lot of wealth. Just know that God is walking with me every single step. Man, I gotta help my brother because I know that's what's right. And use my time to serve you.
cause I'm gonna be the light. Just keep my mind on Jesus and focus on that flight. The faith of a mustard seed and everything alright. Come on.
The flood, the rain, the pain, I can go through anything.
Jesus' name. Words Pastor East Fitness.